program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
5 minutes after the hour of 11 a.m. Central Time. Dave Krieger with you here in the Power Hour, and it's Friday, October 28, 2022, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, or the government is, substitute your own expletive. TGIF, we all have our own terminology for that. Everybody's got terminologies. And we all have our definitions of what the biomedical security state looks like. And we've had to do a little bit of last-minute schedule changing here. So to let you know, we've got the 10% off head-to-toe calcium bentonite clay, the Life Enthusiast products, the Miracle Skin products, and North American Urban Spice products. And today is Cash Friday. So if you use Cash Friday at the Power Mall, when you select cash, check, or money order for payment, you're going to get 10% off on your purchase. Plus, you can click on the Partners tab and get 20% off the hemp bundle from OptiVita. And that includes the hemp extract, the hemp gel, and the Hemp Health Revolution book. And, of course, we've had to do a little rearranging here because Dr. Aaron Cariotti has an interview in the next hour, which is when we were going to schedule him. But since we can put the news off until the next hour, some of the news that we were going to discuss today also has a lot to do with the subject matter we're talking about here, which Dr. Cariotti refers to as the new abnormal, the rise of the biomedical security state. This apparently, Dr. Cariotti is joining us now. Thank you so much, sir, for being on the show.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be with you.
I understand. Now, this is going to be out November 1.
Yeah, that's right. The hardcover will ship on Tuesday. You can pre-order on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever you buy books online. And actually, the audiobook came out yesterday. So if you don't want to wait till Tuesday to get your copy, you can download the audiobook as of now.
Now, you have to understand, too, folks, Dr. Aaron Cariotti's work from COVID-19, from the time, I mean, everybody remembers St. Patrick's Day 2020. That's when everything just kind of, the proverbial caca hit the fan, and it put him on the front lines because of the mental, physical, and economic toll of lockdowns was very catastrophic. And of course, the Dr. Cariotti stood up and started protesting. The cure was worse than the disease. And of course, he, when we're looking at the term doctor, we're not just talking about PhD, are we, sir?
Yeah, that's right. I'm a physician, and yeah. I was a professor in the School of Medicine at the University of California, Irvine, for basically my entire career, 15 years, until last December. I also directed the medical ethics program at UCI until the university fired me last December after I challenged their vaccine mandate in federal court.
And this is the thing. A lot of other doctors are coming. I mean, Merle Nass has had her license suspended by the Maine Board of Medical Examiners. I mean, we're just, it's a constant. People are just, you know, all these anonymous people come forward and make some allegation. Next thing you know, the doctor's up in front of the review board getting hammered and having to defend themselves, which is just crazy because the whole idea behind the Hippocratic Oath is do no harm, not treat. And when we're looking
That's right.
at stuff, I mean, when we're looking at stuff like this, I mean, I know this because I did some time in med school as well at KU. But the thing is, you made a big sacrifice when you came out of the box and started looking from the outside in and saying, hey, something doesn't make sense here. And because of that, they cancel culture you basically. And so now you've gone out and drafted this new book and or paper. Is it a book?
It's a book. Yeah.
Okay.
The New Abnormal is a book again, coming out next week. And in the second chapter of my book, I tell my personal story of what happened to me at the university and also my legal battles with the CDC, trying to get them to follow the science on natural immunity, my legal battles with the FDA, trying to get data transparency for the Pfizer vaccine, and also my legal case challenging the university's vaccine mandate, which is actually, Dave, still in federal court. So that case has not been decided yet, but the university didn't wait for the judge to make a ruling. It just summarily fired me when I challenged one of their policies publicly.
Well, and the thing is, too, and I did read the first 92 pages of the book. I do have it in front of me, folks. Faux pas here. But the thing is, I'm looking at all of the stuff you discuss, including the woke Amazon and what they're doing and how this whole thing kind of ferrets out into the corporate world and how they all just kind of towed the line with everything that the biomedical security state dictated. Part of the problem that we all have here as listeners to the show, Dr. Cariotti, is the fact that we know that anybody that's on the front line, whether it's FLCCC or whoever these doctors are, we've had Dr. Syed Haider on the show. People have been calling him and getting prescriptions. I do ivermectin every other day as a prophylactic because we're all of the opinion. This is why I'm healthy and this is why we're having this conversation, because I believe in what the frontline doctors are saying. I believe less in what the government is saying. And every day something comes along to prove that the government has been lying to us all along, not including Deborah Birx's little tell-all book about how every single thing was made up. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but I've been telling people, don't buy this book. This woman does not deserve to be glorified. She deserves to be prosecuted. And I noticed one of the first things that you talk about in the book is Nuremberg.
Yeah, that's right. I begin. So the book is about what happened to us during the pandemic. It's about the future. It's about what's coming next under this biosecurity model of governance. But I start with a kind of cautionary tale from the past. And by Nuremberg, I'm referring to the Nuremberg trials in 1947, following the Second World War, when the world discovered not only the horrors of the Nazi concentration camps, but discovered also the Nazi physicians who had been doing experiments on, usually on death camp prisoners, without their consent. Oftentimes, these involved really horrifying abuses of the research subjects. And the world reacted quite rightly with horror. And one of the things that came out of that Nuremberg trial, where actually a handful of Nazi physicians were sentenced to death, in fact, for those crimes against humanity, one of the things that came out of that was the Nuremberg Code. And the Nuremberg Code basically set the tone for medical ethics for the next 50 years. And the first principle of the Nuremberg Code was the principle of free and informed consent, that you cannot intervene, you know, whether it's with someone who's in a research trial or whether it's with a medical intervention for a patient. You cannot do that without the patient's free and informed consent. You cannot do that to children without the parents' free and informed consent. And one of the things that really concerned me during the pandemic is that this foundational bedrock principle of good medical ethics, the principle of informed consent, was basically tossed out the window when vaccines that were approved only for emergency use and by our federal government's own definition were still experimental, when these things were forced on people under threat of losing your job, as happened with me and so many others, that we suddenly, in a crisis or in a state of emergency or a proposed state of emergency, supposed state of emergency, we threw our ethical principles out the window and really steamrolled people's rights to make decisions about what goes into their body and to make medical decisions on behalf of their children who are not old enough to consent.
The bigger problem I think a lot of us had is that Trump was lied to. That's the assumption. They already had this vaccine, this emergency use thing. We call it the jab. Here are the clot shot, the kill shot. We're seeing what the results of that are now. We're seeing the number of adverse reactions.
Right.
To us, it looks like the VAERS system was deliberately designed the way it was so that physicians wouldn't be spending any time on it because it's too complicated, takes 30 minutes to do, typical government nonsense. And if you've got to fill out an application like that or a form like that, and it's deliberately designed to mess with these people's time frame, physicians and their staffs do not have time to sit there and fill out every single bloody VAERS form. And this is the things I think that was intentional to keep them from reporting as a deterrent to keep him from reporting because of the time it would take to fill one of those things out. Very few people did. We're being told now that maybe 1% of all of the Bears cases, if we're lucky, are actually part of the reporting data. That if you multiply that figure times 100, you're going to get more of an actual figure as to what is going on. The data is constantly being skewered. All these FOIA requests and lawsuits have to be filed against the federal agencies to get them to come out of the woodwork and give us the data. And now we're analyzing all that data that's coming out. This is the biomedical security state rearing its ugly head by force. I mean, we have to drag it out of them to get the data. And now they want to make this part of the vaccine schedule by a 15-0 vote and have all of our kids who are at the least risk of getting COVID, getting this jab with mRNA vaccine, all sorts of garbage in it, graphene oxide, little microscopic razor blades, goes right to their testicles and their ovaries, sterilizes them. This is where we're getting the idea that perhaps this is a way to depopulate the world, because everybody's taking this thing. I know we've had this conversation before we went on the air, folks, about Dr. Cariotti's opinion about whether or not Kerry Mate and Judy Mikovits and everybody else has come out and said this sure as hell looks like a depopulation effort. Bill Gates, obviously, you know, he's made it obvious in your face with, oh, well, we can eliminate at least 10%, 10 to 15% with a vaccine. I mean, they've already let the cat out of the bag, which is why we're left not so much in a state of confusion and bewilderment, but more so in a state of suspicion. You know, why would a government do something like that? We're dutiful citizens. We work, you know, to pay our taxes. And, you know, and I see all the stuff that we've subscribed to now. We're starting to really have our doubts about the way this government functions and operates and what their real intent is here. And so you coming out with this book on biomedical security state and Fauci sitting there going, you challenge me, you challenge science. And I'm like, sir, you're a buffoon and you're getting rich off of all of this. And now we find out Rand Paul's wife bought remdesivir stock in Gilead Sciences. And I'm just like, oh, come on, people. Talk about insider trading. You know, why were you people doing what you're doing? I mean, how can we not be suspicious, Dr. Cariotti?
Yeah, I think a lot of trust in our governing institutions and in our public health agencies has been squandered during this pandemic. And those agencies have sort of been unmasked. If I can use that metaphor, in terms of the level of compromise and corruption, the ways in which they have been captured by the very industries that they're supposed to regulate. So the CDC, FDA, NIH are compromised by all kinds of financial conflicts of interest, by monies that flow to them from Big Pharma. And I described in the second chapter of The New Abnormal also my efforts to try to get data transparency. And you referred to FOIA requests. I was the physician who coordinated the doctors and scientists who filed the FOIA request to the FDA to get the clinical trials data for the Pfizer vaccine. And the FDA came back and said, okay, well, we'll give you 500 pages a month. They couldn't say no, because the day they authorized Comirnaty, under federal law, they were required to release the clinical trials data to the public. They hadn't done so, so we filed this Freedom of Information Act request. They came back and said, we'll give you 500 pages a month, which if you do the math, would have taken 75 years to release data that the FDA reviewed in only 108 days. We had a good federal judge who said, no, you have 8 months to release the data. Then Pfizer intervened and said, we want to redact the data before it's released to the public. And, you know, that's not surprising. That would be in their own corporate interest if there were things that they were trying to hide. But what was shocking was that the Department of Justice lawyers representing the FDA agreed with Pfizer and put in a request to the court to allow Pfizer to redact the data. Again, fortunately, we had a good judge in this case who said, no way, the corporation is not going to be involved in using their black pen to hide things that the public should be able to take a look at. So we still have a couple of months to go, actually, to get the rest of that data. And so we're still in a situation where, first of all, private citizens at their own cost have to take private action in federal court just to get the government to do what it's required to do under federal law. And second, thousands of people like me have lost our jobs for declining a novel intervention whose safety and efficacy data remains hidden from the public to this day. And, you know, you mentioned increasing worries about vaccine adverse effects. And, you know, VAERS, for all of its limitations, you described several of them. We know that it's underreported based on a study from Harvard and other things that have looked at VAERS reporting. But even so, the number of adverse effects, including severely disabling vaccine injuries and including death, the number that has been reported to VAERS in the last year and a half from these novel mRNA vaccines is many times over larger than the number of vaccine adverse events for all other vaccines combined, you know, going back decades. So there's a huge safety signal in VAERS that the CDC should be following up on. The only vaccine side effect that they followed up on is myocarditis. And they, in fact, confirmed that the vaccines cause elevated rates of myocarditis, which can be fatal. But there's a whole host of other vaccine adverse effects that also require further investigation, that also require the other safety monitoring systems that the federal government uses to be released to the public. So there are more robust active vaccine monitoring systems like the V-Safe system that only the federal government has access to. My lawyer in the other FOIA case, Aaron Seary, is filing another FOIA request to try to get access to that data because the independent researchers have still not been allowed to scrutinize that data on vaccine adverse effects. And one of the things that came out from the data that we got on the Pfizer trial so far was a document that looked at not the clinical trials that were done for approval, but the first 3 months after the vaccine was released. And it's a document that shows the tens of thousands of side effects that were reported in the first 3 months of the mass vaccination campaign. And this includes a 9-page appendix of just a solid wall of text for 9 pages listing the different types of side effects. And you see that not just the heart, but basically every organ system in the body is potentially affected by these vaccines. I mean, it was really quite shocking. I've never in my time as a physician seen anything like this, seen a product that was authorized for use and that was used on a mass scale have a list of side effects that was this long with so many side effects that were quite severe, neurological, pulmonary, gastrointestinal, skin disorders, autoimmune issues. And yet our federal government continues to refuse to look at this. I think our public health officials don't want to sort of come out of this with egg on their face. They're reluctant to admit that we rushed this product to market, that it wasn't adequately scrutinized for safety and efficacy, and that a lot of people are being harmed by it. So rather than acknowledge that the mass vaccination campaign, where everyone indiscriminately was encouraged or in many cases forced to be vaccinated, rather than acknowledge that that was a mistake, they're doubling down and trying to hide the evidence that would make it clear to the American people what they're getting when they get one of these jabs.
We're talking some serious potential public outcry here. I mean, it's bad enough that we have a problem trusting government with all the tit for tat, finger pointing and accusations and mudslinging. And for those of you who don't know, Pauly P just got his ass beat inside of his home in a San Francisco home invasion overnight. They've arrested the guy that did it. But the fact of the matter is, now we've got somebody from the New York Post posting fake stuff, hacking into their website, saying that AOC needs to be taken out, use the word assassinate, and that Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, has ordered Border Patrol agents to start slaughtering immigrants coming across the border. I mean, all of this stuff is coming out. And when you have people, you know, Rand Paul gets beat up in his front yard. When you've got people that irritated with what is going on with the government, if I was a politician, I think I'd be worried about my own personal security right now. And especially if I was from the scientific community and people found out that I was taking kickbacks from Big Pharma and I was going to get all this money. I mean, Fauci, people are looking at him with severe disdain. And you're talking about the fact that the government is going out of its way to hide data because they don't want the real truth coming out. Because, I mean, who's going to invoke Nuremberg anyway, Dr. Cariotti? Who's going to mandate that we have another Nuremberg 2? Who's going to do that?
Well, look, I'm not an advocate of vigilante, you know, justice, but I understand people's frustration when the justice system and the system of government doesn't seem to be serving the interests of the people, but seems to be serving other interests, like the interests of Big Pharma or the interests of big tech global elites who profited massively, for example, from things like lockdowns. I'll tell you, though, about another interesting and potentially promising development so far, other than being questioned by Rand Paul fairly pointedly in some Senate hearings. And I do give credit to Rand Paul, he's the only physician in the Senate, for asking Fauci some tough questions. But aside from that, Fauci has not been forced to answer tough questions about his pandemic policies and the recommendations that he's been making on television really throughout the pandemic response. You know, he goes on TV only with very friendly reporters who lob him softballs and never challenge him on anything he says, or never challenge him when he seems to flip-flop from one month to the next on what he's saying about COVID. But another lawsuit that I'm involved in is a suit called Missouri v. Biden, and it was originally filed by the Attorney General of Missouri and the Attorney General of Louisiana against the Biden administration for alleged collusion with big tech social media companies to censor any information online that didn't comport with the government's preferred pandemic policies. And there's four private plaintiffs, including me, including two authors of the Great Barrington Declaration, who are also part of that lawsuit against the federal government.
Okay,
and we can tell you a little more about that.
Let's do that after the break. We appreciate that, Dr. Cariotti. Very astute. And anybody that's got some questions, we're going to take your calls in the second hour, 844-769-2944. We will be back here on the Power Hour. This is some pretty heavy stuff. I know you got questions. I want to see those phones light up. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarisp. and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Listen, one of the things that was not mentioned was the Oregadent. That's for when you brush your teeth. You just take it and put your toothpaste on your toothbrush and just take a couple drops of Oregadent and put that on your toothbrush and brush your teeth. And I'm telling you, that stuff, once I brush my teeth, I don't want to eat anything for a while. Anyway, it's wonderful. So I use it a couple times a day, and your teeth really do feel so fresh. It's going to help a lot the next time I go to the dentist. So I really appreciate you giving me the heads up about that one.
Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, you know, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.
And we are back, 33 minutes after the hour of 11 a.m. Central Time, and it's Friday, October 28, 2022. Dave Krieger with you here on the Power Hour. We have Dr. Aaron Cariotti here. He's got a new book out right now that's in audio format. It's called The New Abnormal: The Rise of the Biomedical Security State. And of course, in it, I mean, this thing is huge. It's 306 pages long, folks. And I'm looking through the table of contents right now, and it speaks volumes when we're talking about the instances that Dr. Cariotti is referring to here and in our last segment. And we're back again, of course, and taking your phone calls. The number is 844-769-2944. For those of you who want to participate and have questions, this is a gentleman who is on the front line of this whole thing. And the more that we talk about it, the more it's evident that he has been more on the front lines than most doctors in FLCCC. And they've filed their own lawsuits as well. And I have to ask Dr. Cariotti, in addition to the Missouri lawsuit, was there not some action in the Missouri lawsuit filed by Eric Schmidt?
Yeah, that's right. So just very quickly, that Missouri v. Biden case where I'm also serving as one of the private plaintiffs, we had some good news just a few days ago. The judge basically approved our request to depose several people in the federal government, including, I think most notably, including Anthony Fauci. So Anthony Fauci will have to answer questions under oath with the threat of, you know, the penalty of perjury on him by our lawyers in this case about basically his potential role, his alleged role, and the role of many others in the Biden administration in basically leaning on the social media companies to do the government's bidding. And this is clearly a free speech issue. The private social media companies can arguably, and I say arguably because there's certainly debate on this in legal circles, but arguably they can censor, they can decide who they want to keep on or take off their platforms. I don't think they should be able to do that, but there's legal debate. But what's undebatable, what no one doubts, is that the federal government cannot use those social media companies as its sort of the long arm of its censorship regime. The federal government cannot dictate what can and can't be published or what can and can't be said on social media or online. And we've already uncovered quite a bit of evidence in this case on discovery that that's in fact what many people in the Biden administration have been doing. You know, the social media companies are enormously powerful and enormously wealthy. They don't need more money. What they really fear, though, is government regulation. What they really fear is, you know, government intervention to break up various monopolies that they have on the flow of information.
Yeah, so they fear that, Section 230. It's what they fear.
That's right. That's right. So we know that. The implicit threat of government regulation, that's a very big stick that the government carries. And what we're seeing is basically, you know, the Biden administration and individuals within the Biden administration sending very specific emails to corporate executives at you know, Facebook, Google, Twitter, and so forth, saying, why hasn't this specific person been deplatformed? I mean, getting down to that level of specificity, we think you should kick so-and-so off your platform. And then we see a response from the social media companies scrambling to do the government's bidding, saying, oh, don't worry, we're taking care of that. And lo and behold, that person is deplatformed. So this is a clear violation of Americans' First Amendment constitutional rights of free speech. And we're hoping that this lawsuit can shed some light on exactly what's been going on behind the scenes in that regard, because, you know, this affects not just the people that are being deplatformed, but legal precedents clearly show not only do people have a right to free speech, but other people have a right to hear their opinions. In other words, the people who are affected are not just the ones booted off the platform, but the ones who go on Twitter or Facebook and only get one set of opinions and don't get information from people criticizing the government's pandemic policies. And therefore, you get this sort of false projection of a scientific consensus where, in fact, there is not a scientific consensus. There's plenty of credible dissident voices who think that this or that policy is misguided, and they have solid arguments, they have solid evidence to back up those claims. But if you have the government through these companies controlling the flow of information, that information never finds its way to the public. And this is a very, very serious problem, not just because, you know, some people rely on these things for their livelihood. You know, that's an issue, and that's certainly an issue of justice. When you're involved in media and communications, you get deplatformed, as you know, that affects your livelihood. But it's also something that adversely affects the American people as a whole. Because a democracy can't function if people can't openly deliberate and debate, if people can't get access to various opinions and then, you know, think for themselves and, you know, decide who is most persuasive and who seems to have the best evidence in their favor. So So I think this is an important lawsuit, not just because Fauci is going to be deposed. I mean, that's sort of the headline that people
are
excited.
It's Jen Psaki, too. She's going to get deposed, and she is not telling everything she knows, but I have a feeling that your lawyers are going to drag it out of her when this thing finally gets into deposition. The bigger problem I have is that I think they're going to be argumentative about the whole thing. Your lawyers are going to have an uphill battle trying to fight Fauci, because Fauci has interests to protect, including his own. And so he is going to be very argumentative, I think, when it comes to this. But it's good to get the update on that. Dave in New York, you were on the phone with Dr. Aaron Cariotti. What say you?
Yeah, I've got actually two things, and one is going to be rather interesting. The second question, well, or observation is, but you know how they've, now they've got patches and stuff you put on your body, and it reads the levels of everything inside of you. You know, and, you know, they talk about it'll give you more insulin or tell you, you know, this and that. They've got us wired up already to know what's going on inside our body. That's like, you know, that's beyond, you know, remember when Zegar and Evans had that 25-25?
Yeah.
Everything you eat, drink, and say is in the pill you ate today. Well, boy, they were optimists saying 25-25 because it's 20-25. But what do you think about all this circuitry that they're hooking up to us that can read everything?
Yeah. So one of the things I describe in the book is this move toward what's called biometric identification, digital identification tied to biometric data, things like your iris scan, your face ID, your fingerprint. And the next step in that, and folks at the World Economic Forum, their kind of pet philosopher, a guy named Yuval Harari, is talking a lot about this. Right? He describes human beings as what he calls hackable animals. And he says the next step in surveillance is not just, you know, extracting data from your phone on your location or what websites you go on. We know that that's already happening all the time, both by our government agencies and by the private companies that support the apps on your phone. But by hackable animals, he means that there's going to be mechanisms in place to gather data in terms of what's going on under your skin, literally, either through these tattoos that are put on the surface of your body or small devices that are implanted under the skin. And this is not futuristic science fiction technology that might be developed down the road. This is, as the caller correctly identified, this is technology that's already available. It just hasn't been deployed on a mass scale yet. And so imagine, for example, a few years from now that private companies and the government have access to moment to your blood pressure and your heart rate through a wearable device or something that's implanted under the skin to monitor your health condition. And suppose you're watching, for example, the presidential debates. Well, they could know moment to moment, more or less your emotional reaction to whichever candidate happens to be talking at the moment. So this is truly, as some of our global elites who are advocates of this technology understand, this is truly a level of surveillance and then potentially a level of control over people that would be absolutely unprecedented.
Well, Austria, okay, by the way, Dave, did you know today in the news, Austria now has the digital ID in the form of driver's licenses. So there, I mean, that supports your argument, Dave.
Yeah. What's going on in Florida? I'd like to explain now, because this fits right into what you're saying. I'm not sure. My friend down in Florida, they're putting poles up throughout his neighborhood, and they're not telephone poles. They're more like towers, okay? And it's not the city, the town, or the state that's doing it. They won't say who it is. And, believe it or not, the big black vans come, okay? And they're putting in these poles in the ground, and he believes that it's probably 5 or 6G is what they're going to be broadcasting at that point. But they're, you know, he's near Lido Key. I can tell you that much. I can't tell you the exact place where he lives, but down in that area, you know, Sarasota, Tampa, all that, you know, that area down there. And again, it's, you know, like it's nobody that they know who, what they're doing, but you know, and you guys probably know better than I do, but the 5G going through your brain, it, and it can tune it so it either gives you ecstasy or terror, you know, the feelings that you feel inside, if you will, but dictate that you feel that way. So you're going to feel a flight or fright sensation all the time when they want you to. Or you'll be happy as a, you know, whatever, when they want you to feel that way about something.
Well, Dave, I'll tell you what, chapter three of this book, and I'm looking at the table of contents, Dr. Cariotti's talking about the coming technocratic dystopia. And I mean, seriously, you're talking everything. All his talking points are right there in the book, which we hope you pick up a copy of. But we appreciate your call. We've got, you know, tons of questions here and tons of things now that Elon Musk has officially taken over Twitter, fired their CEO, their CFO, and the woman who actually deplatformed President Trump. You know, we're hoping that we're going to see some turnabout here as far as our ability to communicate, and that Elon is going to fire 75% of all the workers there and reboot that company as we hope they would. So that's one thing. And of course, now Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, has lost $10 billion worth of his own personal wealth because Meta stock is taking a nosedive. And again, this is the economy, but it's also it's sending signals about people fighting back. You've got BlackRock, Vanguard being attacked now. Missouri has pulled $500 million worth of its pension funds out of it. You've got Louisiana pulling $800 million. I mean, we are fighting back. And that's one of the things, Dr. Cariotti, I think you were promoting in the book, is the ability to fight back.
Yeah.
And now, from a physician's angle, how? How are we supposed to fight back besides not trust our doctor? I mean, we were supposed to have a good relationship with our own personal physician. We can't even do that anymore.
I know this is a really hard question, Dave. And I've never been so ashamed of my own profession as I have during the pandemic. I can say that there are still good doctors out there. There are doctors that are realizing the degree to which corporate interests and government interests have intruded into the doctor-patient relationship. You know, what a generation ago, 80% of doctors were in private practice. Now only 20% of doctors are in private practice, and 80% work basically for large healthcare conglomerates. And I think we're going to see a trend toward doctors that are sort of fed up with large healthcare systems moving back into the private practice realm. And, you know, they may be hard to find, but there are good doctors out there who are asking good questions and who are trustworthy and who still value things like trying to give you accurate information, let you make your own medical decisions, and, you know, working with you to take a more holistic approach to your health, and not just the approach that's sort of dictated by big pharma. But I think there's a lot of other things citizens can do to push back. Two of the developments that I describe in the book that are going to be next steps in the sort of biosecurity regime's rollout are, one of them we already talked about, which is digital IDs. They're going to be presented as conveniences. So, you know, if you've been to a major airport recently, you may have run across these clear lines at the TSA thing. So basically, if you pay a couple hundred bucks a year, you sign up for this clear, they take your iris scan, your facial scan, your fingerprint. If you read the fine print, you give them access to your credit score. So this is a form of digital identification that's presented as a convenience, right? You get to skip to the front of the security line, and eventually it'll be, well, if you forgot your passport, you forgot your driver's license, don't worry, you could still make your flight. Let us just scan your face or take your fingerprint. We can verify that it's you. But the problem is, This is going to give private corporations like Clear and the government agencies that they contract with unprecedented access to personal information, including information, you know, about movement and travel and so forth. And the other thing that I talk about that's going to be tied to digital IDs is central bank digital currencies, which we can contrast with more decentralized digital currencies like Bitcoin. But currencies issued by central banks like China's e-yuan, which was introduced during the Beijing Olympics, And the feds are now talking about a digital dollar, will be an effort to move us toward a cashless society, which, again, sounds convenient and frictionless, as they like to say in Silicon Valley. But the problem there is, first of all, they're going to be tied to our digital IDs, which is going to give public and private entities unprecedented access to information on all of our financial transactions. Right. They can actually be taxed in real time every time you make a purchase or sell something. But the other thing about these central bank digital currencies, which is important for people to understand, is that they're not actually currency. The digital dollar is not actually a dollar. And let me explain. Let's suppose the federal government gives you a tax rebate, you know, $500 or $1,000 in the form of a central bank digital currency. Wow, that sounds great, right? It's now in my digital wallet tied to my digital ID. But they could put strings attached on that currency. They could say, well, this is going to expire in 9 months, right? They could say, you're only allowed to spend it on green energy, or, you know, you're not allowed to spend it on these disfavored items or these, you know, disfavored social programs.
AR-15s and ammunition.
Yeah. I mean, you know, name your favorite thing that people may want to prevent you from purchasing. It could be guns. It could be, you know, giving money to certain nonprofit entities, whatever. Well, so what you have in your digital wallet is not the same as having $500 in cash in your pocket, right? It's not really a currency. It's a temporary voucher that is an attempt to control your financial behavior, right? And so I think we can push back by, first of all, rejecting some things that are coming down the pike and saying, no, we're not going to take part in this. We're not going to be seduced by convenience to adopt digital IDs. We're not going to be seduced by convenience to adopt central bank digital currencies and abandon cash in our transactions. And, you know, consumers and small businesses can put a stake in the ground here. And say, no, we're not going to get on board with this. We're going to allow people to continue using cash or credit cards or other, you know, forms of payment. So it's important for us not just to understand what happened to us in the last 3 years and continue pushing back against unjust mandates and unjust public health measures, but also to understand what's coming down the pike next, these things and other things that I described in the new abnormal, so that we're clear about what's being proposed when these things are rolled out, and we can stand up and collectively say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be a part of that. We're not going to move our economic system. We're not going to move our system of communications or whatever in that direction.
The big thing I think right now today, Dr. Cariotti, that is probably the most in-your-face prominent with a lot of people, especially moms and dads out there that have school-age kids, is the CDC recommendation to add the COVID-19 jab to the vaccine schedule is scaring the hell out of a lot of people. And when you, I mean, in certain states, like blue state cities, I mean, I hate to go back to this tit-for-tat, red state, blue state. I sound like Dr. Seuss now, one state, two state, red state, blue state. The thing is, when you start talking about stuff like that and certain states are going to implement this, I'm afraid California, where you're at, is going to be one of them. And they're going to start injecting these kids. The parents who say no are facing truant officers. I mean, I don't know. You know, when you rise up and say, no, this is a real tough thing, I'm not going to let you stick that needle in my kid's arm. I'm going to fight you on it. I'm going to sue the school board. I mean, half these people don't even have the money to pay their regular monthly bills, let alone file a lawsuit. And so, from a medical perspective, and they're going to try to find all sorts of ways to exempt and write an exception to their kid. Well, he's got these pre-existing conditions or whatever the case may be. If this is a straight across the board mandate, a lot of these states are going to be faced with some real serious, tough legal questions. What's your take on all this?
So individually, you're correct. It's going to be very hard for people to stand up against this one at a time. So it is very important if you're concerned about these issues, and parents should be concerned about these issues. There's absolutely no reason that we should be vaccinating, much less forcing vaccination of these COVID vaccines for healthy children. Healthy children are not at risk for COVID. We know these vaccines have potential adverse effects, sometimes very serious. You know, we can argue about how common those are, but we know that the risk is not zero. So giving someone who's at no risk of COVID something that has some risk associated with it just is absolutely unreasonable from a medical perspective and is going to end up harming children. But parents have to band together collectively. And a good resource that I'll point people to is the Unity Project. The Unity Project is a nonprofit here in California focused on pushing back against these kinds of mandates and these forms of medical authoritarianism. There's lots of terrific resources on their website. There's links to, you know, about 100 partner organizations in various states that are helping parents band together and act collectively. We've seen collective action actually work. Even in states like California, the Unity Project did a major campaign to push back against before the CDC made their move. California was considering legislatively a bill to require COVID vaccination of children, and that bill failed. There was a lot of pushback from parents in California, which was, I think, a very good thing. So go to the Unity Project, connect up with other local organizations that they can connect you with. And I think individually, it's, you know, people are going to get steamrolled, sad to say. But collectively, these grassroots efforts of lots of parents banding together and pushing back have been effective and will continue to be effective as more and more parents wake up and realize that the CDC is not acting in the interests of me or my children or my family. And I think you're absolutely right. The blowback from this CDC decision is going to be really enormous from people across the political spectrum. You know, that's the other thing about the childhood vaccination issue. We're seeing people on the left and on the right and of no political persuasion recognizing that this is a bad idea.
It is. The new abnormal, the rise of the biomedical security state. It's going to be out November 1. Get yourself a copy. Dr. Aaron Cariotti, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. I know that we've had to do a little juggling, but we had to get you on because you're one of the frontline guys that's speaking the truth and standing up for all the rest of us, and we appreciate you. God bless the work that you are doing, sir.
Thanks.
We thank you so much. You bet. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with our second hour news and your phone calls after the break. Stay with us.
With companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or
Sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com. Or text POWERHOUR to 228-28. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Wild Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true Wild Oregano.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
It's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spa.